Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
And it's the same way following Christ. When I give my life to Jesus, there are benefits that come in that. So we've been talking about those. There's five of them. We're on the fourth one today. Last week, we touched on divine redemption and how Jesus came to redeem us. And how Romans chapter 6 says that we were sold to sin as slaves. We were sold to sin as slaves, but Jesus came to redeem us from that. And there were four Greek words that explained redemption. Now, agorazo means to buy. And when Jesus came, one of the words that they used, we went through all the scriptures last week, of redemption. He came, and that word is used meaning Jesus came and he purchased us. He bought us. And then the next word is exagorzo, meaning he didn't just buy us, but he bought us and he brought us out of that. Aren't you excited about that today? We were brought out of slavery. The third word was lutrosis, meaning paid the full debt. So he bought us, he brought us out, and then he paid the full debt of the cost of us. There's nothing left owed. There's no IOU. There's no balloon payment 5 years down the road. You were purchased outright. And then the last word that he gave us was apolutrosis, meaning he purchased our freedom. So Jesus came, he bought us, he brought us out, he paid the full price, but he didn't just pay the full price for our ownership and the dynamics of we were slaves to them, but now we're slaves to someone else, but he purchased our freedom. You've been given your papers. You are free to live, free to go, and free to be everything that Christ has called us to be. So we're free today to go forward in our lives. We're free to do, and we're free to become. You got to understand, look at your neighbor and say, God has freed you to do his will. All right? To dream the dreams that you've got to dream, to step into the things, to see them become reality for your life or your home or your families, for your future. You see, your chains can't hold you back anymore. Aren't you excited about that? And the great thing is one day, all of us are going to stand before God. And let me tell you what's going to happen. God's not going to look down at you, and God's not going to say, hey, well thought. He's not going to say, well said. He's not going to say, well planned. He's going to say, well done. So he has freed you to get to doing. So let's do it. Amen? Let's not talk freedom, let's live freedom. And in our freedom, let's bring other people into freedom because that is what Christ has called us to do. So divine redemption last week. This morning, we're going to be talking about divine crowns. Divine crowns, okay? And we're going to read Psalms 103, 1 through 4, focusing on 4, but we'll lay it all out. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I love that. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. And the fourth one, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for crowning us. Thank you, God, for giving this to us. And I pray, oh God, that you will take this day, this moment that we have together, take my words, God, make sense of them as seed of the truth of the Word of God. Drive it into our lives that we might live different, be different, act different, and bring you honor and glory. Thank you, God, for giving us this. In your name, amen. So he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. So what does that really mean when you think of this thing? So I love questions. I like a good question better than I do an easy answer. I love asking questions. I think the right question is a powerful thing, and that's kind of how I approach everything. So we're going to take this phrase, he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. We're going to ask ourselves a couple of questions about it. And the first one I ask is this, what is a divine crown? We've had divine redemption, we've had divine other opportunities, but what is a divine crown? Well, since God crowns you, it is divine because God is divine. Amen? Is God divine? And God crowns you, therefore the crown's divine. Amen. Now, a crown, all through Scripture, when you read it, represents authority. So God gives authority, and he wants us to walk with authority on this earth. Now, we're going to unpack this a little bit and get into it some. Now, I want to remind you that Jesus walked with and taught with authority when he was on this earth. Matthew 7, 28 and 29 says this, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Now, the verses I've just read you were kind of tacked on at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and the people had never heard teaching like this. Jesus is talking. He's bringing a new idea and a new concept, and he's talking so different than anything that had ever been taught before. And you know what? Not only was it new and fresh, but he did it in a way that people said, this man knows what he's talking about. He's talking about this as one who really has authority. They hadn't heard teaching like this anymore. Now, I want you to understand something. A lot of people think Jesus had authority because he was the Son of God. And I've heard this my whole Christian life. Well, you know, Jesus just was so good at witnessing to people. Well, he was the Son of God. I'm not the Son of God. I can't witness like that. Well, that's not exactly it. You're not the Son of God. Let me be clear about that. But I think sometimes we say Jesus was able to do things because he was the Son of God, and yet he was fully man. And we kind of ignore that aspect because it gives us a free ticket out of something. All right, some people think he had authority because he was the Son of God. I want you to understand something. All authority is given. All authority is given. All right, Matthew 28, we know this. 28:19, it's the Great Commission. We quote it all the time, and we read it all the time, and it's a beautiful verse. It's what our lives ought to be about. "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We know this and we love this, but let me read you verse 18 that leads into this. And it says, "Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given me,'" or "given to me in heaven and on earth." So he didn't get it just because he was the Son of God. He received authority from God because God gave him that authority to walk with, to function in on this earth. John 13, 3 and 4, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, because he had authority," look at what he did. "He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself," and it goes on to say that he washed their feet. Well, how could he do that? How could he wash their feet? Well, he could wash their feet because he knew that he had authority. Now, can authority be given? Yes. Can authority be taken back? Yes. Can authority be lost? Yes. Let me ask you this. Authority is given by God and God alone. And how many of you can have a position and you can have a title and not have authority? And all of us have probably seen this at some point in our life. Hey, how's work? Work's great. My boss is an idiot. And I know that with position comes responsibility. That's a guarantee. But with position doesn't always come authority, because authority is given. And ultimately, it's given by God. Now, we've all seen somebody with position that didn't have the authority, okay? Authority only comes from God, and Jesus knew that he had authority. Now, authority doesn't come from the way you talk. It doesn't come from the way that you walk, and neither does it come from the way that you carry yourself. You can't walk in and act like somebody and receive authority, because it's acting like somebody. Authority comes from God. Now, Jesus walked on this earth. He didn't walk on this earth as a know-it-all or as a big shot. He didn't walk into the temple and say, "Hey, everybody, I'm here. Look at this guy. Who's got two thumbs and awesome?" He came in as a loving, compassionate, he came in as a merciful Savior who had authority because God had given him authority. So we talk about being crowned, and crowned means authority. And so we're going to talk about why God gives us authority, and we'll get to that. But Jesus walked with loving kindness and tender mercies because that's how he was crowned. All right, we're going to get into this. Everybody knew that when they came in contact with Jesus, they were amazed at his teaching, and they knew that he had authority because he was like no one else they'd seen. Sometimes people who don't have a title or a position, but they walk with God, will have more authority than people who have the title and the position. You ever seen that? Dude, I've seen dynamics and situations where people will have a mom or a grandma that prays, and you talk to somebody and you say, "Don't make me call your mom." "Oh, don't call my mom." "Oh, don't, I know I'm a man, but don't call my mom." Why? Because mom talks to Jesus and she has authority. And he knows it. I got position and title. I know who I am, but I know who my mom's is too. All right. Divine crown is called divine crown because it is authority. That's what that is. All right. Number two is this. Why are we crowned? Why are we crowned? God crowns us. Loving kindness, tender mercies. God crowns us. That's what he says. He gives us authority to live. He gives us authority to function on this earth and to live our lives, not being the tail but the head. Power and authority, that's what he gives us. So why are we crowned? Psalms 103 says that, who crowns us? So why are we crowned? I'm going to give you the answer, and then I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. He crowns us to reign in this life over sin and death. That's why he crowns us. God gives us authority to reign in this life over sin and death. Romans 5:21 says this, So that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, what Romans 5 is telling us is this. Sin reigned in our lives. Death reigned in our lives until grace came. You understand that? Sin dominated, death dominated until grace came. And when grace came, everything changed. These things reigned in our lives. But now if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, then grace reigns in our lives. So how do you and I reign in our life? Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So how do you reign in this life? It's not by doing, it's by receiving. By receiving what? By receiving Jesus Christ. Because when I receive Jesus Christ, I receive an abundance of grace and I receive the gift of righteousness. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I need an abundance of grace. I do. I got saved when I was 8 years old. I've loved Jesus more years than I didn't love Jesus. And I need an abundance of grace every day. I need his enabling. I need his power. I need his mercy. I need his forgiveness. And the truth is, I know that I need it. And here's the problem. I think sometimes as believers, we forget this. We kind of think we outgrow that. We don't really believe that we still need the abundance of grace. We say, oh, when I first got saved, Pastor, oh, man, I was a mess. And, man, I needed a ton of grace. But now I've been saved a couple of years. You know, I'm teaching. You know, it's awesome. I got a little position in church. I help do stuff. And I'm feeling better about myself. I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm not the woman that I used to be. And I need an abundance of grace there. And I still need grace today, but probably not as much. You know what? That's a lie from the enemy. All of us need an abundance of grace. All of us need an abundance of grace every single day. And not just that, we need the gift of righteousness. Righteousness means to be in right standing with God. And the only way that we're going to be in right standing with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not about, oh, I do so much, I give so much, I serve so much, I show up every time the doors are open. You know, I show up and wash cars for 12 hours yesterday. Thank you, Jesus. No, you weren't there one time. Where's Sasha? Wash cars for, it was like, and it was like 140 degrees outside, you were telling me? And you were the only one, and everybody else was just playing in the mud, and you were it. Where would we be without you? Still washing cars, that's where we would be. It's not about how much you do or how much you, it is by the righteousness of Christ, by the work of Jesus Christ, that any and all of us can come into his presence. Any and all of us can be saved today because we have an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The Psalms 103 has all the benefits laid out. Last week we talked about being redeemed, and now we're talking about being crowned. Well, I came across this verse in Revelations, and it still uses the same thing. Talks about redemption, and then it talks about crowning and authority. Listen to this. Revelation 5:10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on this earth. That he has redeemed us out of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, has made us kings and priests. Why did he make us kings and priests? So that we could reign on this earth in the authority that he has given us. Why kings and priests? Because a king reigns. He has authority. Why has he made us priests? Because priests connect people to God. Isn't that what our lives are supposed to be about when you think of being a believer, being a follower of Jesus Christ? That not just the people you think are super spiritual, but literally everyone in this room today, he has called you and named you kings and priests because, A, you have authority in your life today because of an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness to see your life change, to say, I'm not like that anymore. I'm like this now because of the work of Christ, and I'm going to live my life in the authority over sin and death because the devil's not going to get me like he used to get me because I'm wiser to his ways. God has shown me the light. I'm walking in grace. I'm walking in the righteousness of Christ. I'm finding victory over the things in my life. And not only that, I'm going to let other people know so they can come with me. You are kings and you are priests. That's what he said. That redemption and then that authority. Kings reign. Priests connect people to Jesus. All the folks who, oh, I'm just trying to figure out what God wants me to be with my kings and priests. That's what it is. He wants you to reign over sin and death in this life and to help other people reign over it as well, to walk in authority and to connect people to Jesus. He wants you to be kings and priests unto him. Now, the reason that we can reign on this earth is because we know that God has crowned us. Much like Jesus knew, authority came from God, and because he knew that he had the authority of God, he had been crowned, he was able to walk and function in a way that many others were not able to do. And so God says, you have been given authority, all authority, to be crowned, to go and do what God has called us to do. God has invested authority in you to represent him to the world. Right? I'm not lying to you, I promise. You're it. There's no plan B. God didn't say, hey, I'm going to count on this group of folks, and if, you know, man, if they don't, well, I always got this other group of folks, I'll just, you know. You're it. God counts on you to do this. All right? What is a divine crown but authority? Why are we crowned to walk in authority over sin and death in our lives on this earth and to bring others with me? Lastly, what are we crowned with? What are we crowned with? I think that sometimes we get a little wrapped up in that we're crowned in the body of Christ rather than asking, what are we crowned with? You know, you see people in the hallway, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Yeah, all right. No, has anybody ever said that to you? I love it. I mean, we are blessed. We are highly favored. But that's not the right question. I love questions. And so, how are you today? I'm blessed and highly favored. Okay, well, here's my question. What are you blessed and highly favored to do? It's not just walking around saying I'm blessed and highly favored. We're stopping too short. We've got to say blessed and highly favored to do what? I mean, what has he crowned you with? He's given you authority. He's given you power. He's given you an abundance of grace. He's given you the gift of righteousness so we could put it on a shelf in our home. And every once in a while, when we have time from our busy little lives to look up and go, I am the one he loves. Right? No. I've always said this, Christ saves you not by works, but once you're saved, there's a lot of work to do. There really is. What has he crowned you with? Psalms 103:4 says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Listen, he didn't just crown you with kindness, but loving kindness. He didn't just crown you with mercy, but he crowns you with tender mercies. Now, the word crowned in the Hebrew has a secondary meaning, and it means surrounds. God surrounds us with loving kindness. He surrounds us with tender mercies. Our God is a merciful God, and he's famous for mercy. Matthew 9:13, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. God says, walk away from the sacrifices and come and show mercy. You see, I want us to get this because truth of the matter, we should be the most merciful people on this earth. And yet, do you ever find yourself sometimes being the most judgmental? You see, we've received mercy. God is so merciful that his throne, he calls what? The mercy seat. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. And find grace to help in our time of need. Now this phrase, loving kindness and tender mercy, David uses this phrase a lot. In Psalms 25:6, he says, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Psalms 40:11, do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. Psalms 51:1, David here is confessing of adultery, and he says this, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the magnitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Here's the reason why David uses that phrase so much, because he understood that he had received an abundance of grace. He understood that he had received a gift of righteousness, and David understood that all authority that he had been given to him by God and could be taken away by God. I think that if we would walk in humility as believers, walk in kindness and in mercy, and have then we would have the authority to overcome sin and death in our lives. Yeah, I get sad sometimes hearing how Christians live and walk and talk. And I mean, there's a problem if one day on Facebook you've got a scripture as a status, and the next day on Facebook, you got a status with curse words in it. I just don't get it. You see, sometimes we can focus so much on the reigning. You know, I have a divine crown. God has given me a crown. I have abundance of grace. I have the gift of righteousness, and he has crowned me. God has given me authority. And we kind of get into our mind and our spirit that with this authority and with this power, we're going to reign over the people around us. And that's not what God said. Well, God told me. That's not what God told you. We forget, we move away the focus of our lives from loving kindness and tender mercies. You see, we're called to represent loving kindness and tender mercies to everyone that is around us, and that is what he's called us to do. God has crowned us, and I want us to remember how he crowned us. He took the crown that was on his son, and he put it on us. And he took the crown that was on us, and he put it on his son. You understand that? Mark 15:16-12, then the soldiers led him away to the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison, and they clothed him with purple. They twisted a crown of thorns. That's your crown. That's my crown. And they put it on his head, and they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. Then they struck him on the head with a reed, and they spat on him. Bowing the knee, they worshiped him. When they had mocked him, they took the purple off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. See, that's the crown that we were supposed to wear. But Jesus, the King of Kings, took that crown for us. And let me tell you how we should respond to that. We should respond like the 24 elders in the book of Revelation. We should cast our crowns at his feet. I'll close with this and say, you and you alone are worthy of all honor and all glory. You have redeemed us to God. You have loved us as sons and daughters, and you have made us kings and priests. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he's for you. So this morning, God has crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercy because of an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness to our life.
If you'd like to learn more about living a life in Jesus Christ or would like prayer, please contact our church office at area code 703-548-0339.